scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all. Aguilla, rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Welcome to training camp 2022. It's officially underway. Hour one of Flames Talk on this Wednesday, September 21st, officially underway as well. It's Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon with you from our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios. Available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe for the coming season. All your training camp insight, audio, and a whole lot more as we're officially underway on this Wednesday. Fitness testing, medicals, all that type of stuff going on Wednesday. And Thursday, 9:30 a.m., first on-ice session for the Calgary Flames at the Scotiabank Saddledome. And some interesting things to get to on day one of training camp, Logo. And you know it's officially underway because General Manager Brad Treliving did his season-opening training camp media address, talked to us earlier on this Wednesday for about 20 minutes. We've also got an exclusive chat with the GM coming up a little bit later on here in hour one of Flames Talk, but a lot to get to that coming up later on. So stay with us on hour one. GM Brad Treliving going to sit down with us exclusively right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and right here on Flames Talk. This might have been my favorite part, though, of Tree's initial season opening kickoff. I believe it was Cammy at Global who asked him the question kind of about the summer and how many eyes were on the team this summer. And a fair question. It's like, hey, like you were the team that made headlines the most consistently and the largest headlines throughout the summer. And it's very clear from the GM that, yeah, summer, it's done. Training camp in the season, and now it's about proving it is all that matters.
This idea of winning the summer is a load of crap, I think. I just you try to win in the winter. The summer really is irrelevant. So we like our team coming in. Last year, it's in the rearview mirror. We got a lot of questions to answer. Like we've had significant turnover when you look at the, you know, sort of the top of the food chain. And so where do they fit? How do they fit? That process starts tomorrow. So, you know, I've said it before, I'm excited because the players are excited, but all this talk over the summer is just that. Usually when they talk about having a great summer, you know, we're more worried about having a great winter and spring. But I'm excited to see the group, but we've got lots of questions to answer. And this camp is really, really important, as they all are, but to sort everything out, you know, from our defense. And, you know, we've got lots of players. We've got lots of players there, and I think competition is good. It should be hard to make the team. You know, we talk about depth in the blue line. Like I said, you only have depth if they play well. But I'm excited to see where all the pieces fit, and I know Daryl and the staff have been working at that for a while, so I'm like you. I'm interested to see how this thing goes.
So, Logo, summer, yeah, officially over. Okay, we won the summer. That means nothing. They've got a lot to live up to here, Logo. They've got to now go out and meet expectations. I would suggest that with what has happened this summer, expectations surrounding this team are as high as they have been in ages. I can't remember the last time expectations for a full season were this high, and that's coming off them winning the Western Conference in 18-19. That's coming off some of their other playoff years in over the last number of years under GM Brad Treliving. Like, I cannot remember a year with all that has happened, anticipation level and expectation level being as high as it is. They signed one of the top free agents. They made a blockbuster trade. They've got guys who were finalists for major trophies last year. And Logo, they've got the reigning Jack Adams Trophy head coach behind the bench. Now it's time to go out and live up to expectations.
Yeah, I think the talk is now done with this group, and it's about performance, and it's about what actually happens on the ice, and that starts at 9:30 a.m. Thursday at the Scotiabank Saddledome when the first of three groups get, you know, underway on actual on-ice training camp events. I think that, you know, the GM made it very clear today, and I'm, you know, excited to hear his chat with you coming up a little bit later to, you know, that the expectation has shifted now. We're not talking about what ifs and, you know, what could be or, you know, what the team might look like. It's about doing it now. Yeah, we can sit here and say that the team's better or that the team is, you know, in a position to be better. But we don't know that. We have no idea. This group that's assembled in front of us, we really don't know anything about it, Pat. We have an idea of what some of the pieces are, but we have no idea how they work together. That's the work that starts tomorrow with that Jack Adams head coach that you just mentioned and the rest of the group is now you think you have these puzzle pieces here and you think that they're all going to fit together. Can you make it happen?
And that's just it. And now we wait some interesting particulars from the season opening news conference, some interesting news items. Let's start with this, some player updates, and starting on the blue line with Oliver Shillington. I don't think we were expecting this one. Here's the update from the GM.
Oliver Shillington will not be attending the start of camp here. Oliver is dealing with a personal family issue. I think it's important to say this is not substance abuse related. He is dealing with a personal issue, a family issue. The organization is in full support of Oliver. And I would just ask media members and people alike to give Oliver some privacy in this time right now. But this will be the last we talk about it until I have any other further updates. We're fully supportive of Oliver and been in touch with him, but we just want to give him some time right now.
First of all the best to Oliver and his family and whatever's going on. Don't know the details. If I did, I wouldn't share them. That's not for us to A, pry on or B, divulge. So all the best to Oliver and his family, and hopefully he's back as soon as he's ready to get back. I got a number of people on Twitter when I tweeted that out earlier on this Wednesday about Brad being very clear about this is not a substance thing. This is not a substance abuse problem or anything like that. And the reason why he was very clear on that is because he knows, the Flames know, as well as you and I know, that social media is stupid and speculation and rumors and just innuendo run rampant. So to put that to bed right away, I thought was important. So I wanted to also point that out. That's why he went out of his way to say that, because we know how rampant speculation and irresponsible, unfair speculation can get on social media platforms. This is interesting. And with the caveat of all the best to Oliver coming off his best season, a breakout season for him. I hope he's back in camp or with the Flames as soon as humanly possible. But on the ice logo, this opens up an opportunity for someone to step in and maybe seize a spot. You know, last year, that opportunity was there because it took a little while for Nikita Zadorov and Eric Gudbranson to kind of find their footing. Yuso didn't have the greatest camp. Connor Mackey didn't slam the door down. And all of a sudden, the door opened on the blue line, and Oliver Shillington stormed through it and was able to become a top six defenseman. Now, I'm not saying that Oliver is going to be displaced or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that at all. But I am saying there's going to be more playing time, more opportunity, and maybe more high leverage opportunity in the preseason. So if you're Nick Meloche, if you're Yuso Välimäki, if you're Connor Mackey, if you're looking to get some more eyeballs on you and really prove some of the steps you've taken over the summer, the opportunity is there on the blue line this fall.
Yeah, and it's, you know, in my mind, it's only expanded based on what we'll hear from the GM next when it comes to the status of Chris Tanev and understanding that he's going to be ready to go but might not see preseason time based on that offseason shoulder surgery. Put that into more reps at practice with another top six forward, Pat, and more opportunity in preseason games. I think you can absolutely start to see a window where you can make a massive impression if you're a Connor Mackey, a Yuso Välimäki, even a Nicholas Meloche kind of guy, a Michael Stone type of player. You know, there's going to be more opportunity with somebody out of the lineup. It's it's unfortunate. It's never what you want to talk about, and you're 100% right. First and foremost, you hope that everything's okay with Oliver, and you hope it's not something that keeps him away from the organization long term, but that's the nature of the business, and yep. You have to understand that if he's not there for whatever the reason is, that opens an opportunity for someone else to pick up those minutes. And in Calgary, there are a couple of those guys that are looking to take that next step, not unlike what Oliver did last year.
That's just it. Like, this is a big opportunity. And I'm curious if that's just it. Like, Oliver kind of laid out the blueprints of how you go about doing that, where everybody suggests that, well, all the spots are taken, and here's a guy who said, well, no, they're not, because I'm going to come in and take a spot. And so we'll see if another younger defenseman can do that. I mean, I still hold out hope for Yuso. I know it's been a rough couple of years, but I still think there's something there. And I cannot get on board with the get rid of and he's not worth it and it's time to move on. We're talking about a guy who lost 2 years of early 20s development in a very difficult position to develop in, with injury, with pandemic, with all that type of stuff.
Who's also 23 still.
I don't think it makes any sense to completely divest from a guy like him. I know it's been rough, but I still hold out lots of hope. There's still some stuff to be harnessed or discovered with you. So let's not forget how good he looked prior to that injury. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to a lot of people, and he has put in a ton of work this offseason. And everybody says that at this time of year, but just talking to some people that I trust, like, dude has been busting his ass over the summer. He came back to Calgary early. He has been working with the Flame strength and conditioning group. He's been on the ice for those skates with the vets. I'm really curious about him. Connor Mackey's been knocking on the door for quite some time. So that is definitely an angle that I'll be interested in going into camp. And to your point, an update on Chris Tanev kind of just expands the conversation, right?
We anticipate everything's going to be good. Chris will be on the ice with the group tomorrow, and then we'll just, you know, we may probably not play him in preseason games initially, you know, the first little bit of preseason games, but we anticipate that he's going to be full go here starting tomorrow.
So if Tanev misses some preseason games early and Shillington's not in camp, well, yeah, there's going to be some opportunities for Mackey to play in the top four or Yuso to play in the top four. I'm curious to see how that plays itself out. And again, it doesn't mean that that player is going to stick for the rest of the season or going to displace somebody or force a trade, but it gives an opportunity to maybe take a step forward in the organizational ranks. And for a lot of these guys, that's important.
Well, is it not? I mean, to me, it's almost as basic, Pat, as looking at it and saying, isn't it a lot easier to give your coaches a firsthand view of, hey, look, if injuries happened and we had to bring up Connor Mackey, what would it look like if he was on a pairing with Chris Tanev? Well, guess what? You might not have to imagine that and guess what it is, because now you might actually have time with that, and you yep. might get a chance to make an impression and have a coach sit there and say, have, you know, Ryan Huska or someone on the coaching staff say, yeah, look, I watched a ton of Connor when he was practicing with Chris there. That's absolutely a pairing we can go down the road to if we need to. And I don't have to guess about that. I don't have to work out where he might come in on an injury. I know where I can place him in because he had that going back to training camp. I think it eliminates that wonder that's going to be in everybody's mind, because let's be honest, there's a lot of defensemen. There's a lot of players. What did Brad say? 67 players in camp?
67 is what the number
there's
is.
There's three groups going to be starting on the ice tomorrow. You're not going to get a chance to show yourself with every single D partner or on every single forward line. So when you do get that chance, make the most of it. Make the best impression that you can. And I think an opportunity like that for Yuso or Connor, whoever it is really invaluable to have that kind of rep yep. in training camp and to say, hey, look, you need somebody to play with Noah or whoever it is, because there's so many options. You could play this game 1,000 times. I can do that for you. And you're right. It doesn't necessarily mean it translates to night one, but you can better believe that the coaches are making mental notes and physical notes about, hey, this worked well in training camp. Something comes up during the regular season, there's a fit for us.
The other update when it came to players was on Andrew Mangiapane. This one is not, doesn't sound like it's serious or anything like that, but he's not going to be on the ice to start training camp either.
He had a tweak during some summer skates. We don't anticipate it's going to be anything. We anticipate it's going to be very short term, but he is skating on his own right now with our medical staff, our skills and development people. And then he probably will rejoin the group here in the next couple of days.
So that doesn't sound too serious, which is good news. So sounds like everything will be fine on the Andrew Mangiapane front, but he's going to miss the first little bit of training camp. And he's one of the guys that, you know, I don't think we're not worried about whether or not he makes the team or anything like that. So you can be cautious with a guy like Mangiapane, but he is one of the most interesting players. And when he does end up getting into preseason games and does get into training camp full speed, like, where the heck is this guy going to play? Is he going to be on the left side? Is he going to be on the right side? I know there's a lot of people who are penciling him in on the right side of a top line or a top six line, and kind of seeing if the same thing that happened with Matthew Tkachuk last year, mm-hmm. and how much things opened up for him on the right side playing his off wing can happen similarly for Andrew Mangiapane. I don't know. That doesn't happen for every guy. It seemed to work really well for Tkachuk last year, but that doesn't mean it's going to work that way for Mangiapane. We've seen him play the right side before, and I've always preferred him on the left side. I've felt he's been more effective on the left side, but that doesn't mean that he's not ready to give that a try this time around. That's going to be a really interesting story to watch as well.
Yeah, it's nice because Andrew's at the point in his NHL career where, after last season especially, Pat, it's not if he makes the team, it's where he fits on the team, right? We're not having questions about whether this guy's going to put in the work to be there on night one. That's pretty much guaranteed, and especially given the contract that he has now, that's something that comes with that territory. It's, you're right, it's where does he fit in this group, and that's something that can be adjusted and moved as the training camp progresses and as we get into what I'll call the more serious portion of preseason games, the ones that, you know, are sort of on the eve of your regular season beginning, and you want to have that group set in. If he was to miss a week or, you know, around that time of training camp, I don't think it hurts as much. It's a couple less reps in areas, but they're still going to have plenty of time to figure out where exactly they want him to go. I'm sure they have an idea of it already. Now it'll just be up to him to catch up to it physically once he's ready to join the group.
You think he is a top line player this year?
No, I don't. And the only reason I say that is because off the hop, when Kadri signed here, I loved the idea of him and Kadri playing together. I think of those two guys as a really good fit. That's a pairing I think that could be very effective for the Calgary Flames as far as their forward group goes, is having him and Kadri, who play that similar hard-nosed, hard-working kind of two-way style together. And if, you know, Andrew's able to continue the sort of offensive style that he put up last year, you know, with a 35-goal season, I think the fit is there for me. And not to say that he couldn't. I think given this right situation, if they wanted to, you know, change things up and perhaps, you know, inject some life as it happens during the season, right? We always go through those lulls and you're looking for something to spark your group. Could I see him spending time there? Yeah. But do I think right now it's there for him? I don't think so, but he's certainly capable of it.
If it were to happen, that'd be awesome. Because I think that he is a potential fit on a top line, but I'm with you. And you know what? Maybe we are the season that Nazem Kadri had in Colorado this past year, it's not like he's sitting there as, oh, well, he's not a top line player. Dude almost had 100 points. If he plays a full season, Kadri has 100 points last year. So if Mangiapane's riding shotgun with Kadri this year, I don't think that's a bad thing. I don't think we're talking about, oh, well, that's not where Mangiapane needs to be higher in the lineup. Like, to me, I don't know if it's going to be as much of a drop-off from one line to the next, and specifically one line to the rest, as what we saw last year. Last year, it was Lindholm's line and then everybody else. Yeah. And Backlund, Backlund, Coleman, and Mangiapane, when they were together, especially when they were put together for the remainder of the season late last year, that kind of trimmed the gap from line to line, and you had two really effective groups. But, man, last year it was the Lindholm line and everybody else, and I don't think it's going to be the same way this year. I think Lindholm's line, Kadri's line, there's not going to be a ton between them. And even the drop to a Backlund line. I don't think you're talking about massive gaps between each line. Which so if Mangiapane's not on Lindholm's line and is on Kadri's line, I don't think that means that he's not getting an opportunity or anything like that. That's a high leverage role. That's a big spot for him.
And yeah, and even to add to that, I still think he's going to be a staple in the first power play unit this year as well.
Power play units are going to be fascinating this year as well.
There's some options there.
What about naming a captain? Is that something that the GM feels needs to happen by tomorrow?
That's got to play out. I don't think you just name a captain just to check it off a list. I think those things just we'll see how everything goes. And, you know, we've got some new people in here. I think our number one priority is just to get everybody together and get the group formed. And like I said, start building the team. What I enjoy is the team building process, and then we'll see. Obviously, I think we've got lots of strong leaders on this group. We have to let this play out, and that's something we'll talk about, you know, during and throughout camp.
So that is the captain conversation. I don't think it's as big a deal as I know it's not as big a deal for the Flames as it is for us on the outside, and it's going to be asked all the time. Until at some point they name a captain, whether it's to start the season, midway through the season, or not till next year. Look, you're still looking for somebody that is the obvious choice to be captain, and that sometimes takes a little time to play out. Oh, and they lost two guys that were central core members to this team last year, and one guy
that wore an A all the time.
Well, and one guy that the vast majority or a good chunk of fans anyway had been earmarking as a captain for the longest time in Matthew Tkachuk.
I don't even know that it's appropriate to name a captain right now. This group has this current constructed group, Pat, hasn't spent any time together as a team yet. I know they've been out golfing a couple times. You can watch some of the players' Instagrams. They were out in Banff. Cody Eakin was out with the group and they were golfing and getting to know each other on that level. But as far as what the locker room actually is and how the leadership, you know, is handled in that room, I don't even think it's appropriate to do that before they've had any game experience together and before they've actually gone into that before, because the new guys have to adjust to the leadership that was here before, find their voice in that locker room. And I don't think that's something that you can just assume is going to happen. Much to what Brad said, you have to sort of let it happen and take its, you know, the proper steps for it to happen, for it to actually mean something and to be what you hope it is. And now, you know, for the Flames too, I think they're probably in a better spot to do it now because they have a longer list of guys this season compared to last that are attached to the group long term, which is something that was a big question for a lot of people last year, right? When we talked about Tkachuk and his status with the team going forward. Well, it's hard to give the guy a captaincy when you don't know what his commitment level is to the group. And in hindsight now, it's good that they didn't do it because turns out he wasn't overly committed to staying here.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think this is something that you don't just need to rush into.
No.
A couple of other notes. Adam Rzycka in camp. He's signed. He signed Wednesday morning officially. 2-year deal. AAV is $762,500. He's on a two-way deal this year and a one-way deal next year. And, you know, whatever the numbers look like, it's good that he signed. He needed to be on the ice on day one of camp, or else he was setting himself back for what is already going to be a significant uphill climb. There's going to be a tough road for him to make the team out of camp with as much depth as they've got down the middle, with as many left shots as they've got. Like, Adam Rzycka's got an uphill climb, so don't make it any worse on yourself. and he is signed, so that's good news. Also, the Brett Ritchie deal is now official. It is a one-year deal for Ritchie. It's $750K. So those two signings have been made official. We spoke at length about Ritchie on Tuesday's show, but the Rizicka deal is now signed, so there's no worry of him missing any camp, and that is extremely important specifically for the player.
Huge. All this Pelche talk has been interesting to me because, Pat, I looked at it and said, okay, I understand that Rizicka plays center and that Pelche is a winger, and I understand the idea behind it. But to me, it was you were skipping a step going to Pelche as that next guy to make the Calgary Flames out of the prospects. Because to me, when I look at it, I think, no, that should be Adam Rizicka. That should be the guy that we're talking about who we're looking to make the jump to the NHL on a full-time basis. He's got 30 games of NHL experience under his belt. Jacob's got none. And yes, it's a different conversation between a winger and a center. But when I look at it, I say, okay, well, I would be looking for the guy that just got his first real taste of NHL action last season in 28 games to be the guy that's more likely to take that step towards playing close to 82 than the guy that's played zero.
Yep.
So, and I still believe that. Even though the center ice depth is incredibly tough here, I still think if you're Adam Rizicka, you've got to go into this training camp doing everything you can to make this team and to make Brad Treliving and Daryl Sutter back up those words, which, by the way, I believe they do all the time when it comes to training camps and, you know, the comments of, hey, if someone's earned a job,
yeah,
they've earned a job and they're going to be on the team. Go out and make that the case. To me, that's still the guy that I'm looking at to see if he can build off of what last year was for him. And that's not to say that Jacob can't do it, but I'm going to look at the guy with the more handful of NHL experience, especially under this coach. Adam should have no confusion or question as to what Daryl Sutter wants from him to be a full-time NHLer. Jacob hasn't had that experience, and that to me is a big difference between the two.
More on this as we roll on in hour one, as that is absolutely one of the topics we'll get into with the general manager. Our exclusive conversation with GM Brad Treliving is still to come in hour one of Flames Talk, which is available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour one continues on this Wednesday. 2022 training camp is officially underway. And on this Wednesday, the general manager, Brad Treliving, spoke to the media at large, also sat down with us. Here's our exclusive chat with GM Brad Treliving of the Calgary Flames to kick off 2022 training camp.
So tell me about, I guess, the mindset from the GM coming into this season, because I think a lot of people look at this year and they say, hey, this has a little bit of a different feel coming into training mm-hmm. camp. Does it have a different feel coming into training camp for the GM?
I mean, yes and no. Every camp, Pat, you're excited for the start of the season. You've gone through, you know, your process in the summer, and as you know, we try to do, I think you do a lot of the heavy lifting of your team building in the summer. So you're always interested to see how, you know, you can summer plan it out all you want. You got to see how the pieces fit on the ice. So that part is probably, you know, not too different than any years before. But let's be honest, we've had some significant change here. You know, especially at the top end of our roster, you're excited to see how those things fit. To me, there's anticipation to see how it all fits. You know, ultimately, I think we've added some really good players. We've lost some good players. But, you know, at the end of the day, the teams that have success are the good teams, not necessarily the good individuals. So how quickly we can move this thing towards, you know, becoming a team and mm-hmm. reestablishing our identity and all those types of things. Those are what intrigued me heading into this camp.
Is it fair to say it might take some time because it is such a new group, and maybe it's not a situation where you find full stride in early October?
Yeah, I mean, the idea is to try to, you know, use this 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, or whatever it is of camp to be prepared for game one, and we'll see. You know, ultimately, you know, you don't have that luxury to say it's going to take time because the league is so competitive that, you know, we all know you don't want to be in a chasing situation throughout the year. So, you know, we're going to try to push. And I know Daryl and the staff will push as hard as we can to get this thing, you know, up and going as quickly as I can, as we can. But when you've had as much change, like I said, at key positions, you know, there and it's not just change, but you've got players coming from the other conference. You've got, you know, just there's big change for them too, right? Mm-hmm. So to get comfortable with teammates, but also, you know, playing in the West and playing in a different conference and, you know, altitude and all the different things that go on. You know, hopefully we can speed up that process. But we got to be ready when the puck drops for real.
Because you don't know who fits best and, you know, necessarily who plays best with who, does that add, even for you, does that add to the curiosity of this year's camp, maybe more so than others?
Yeah, but it's not that, that's not that unique. Like, being around a long time here, what it gives you is the experience is to be very careful. I know we've all, and I'm sure you and listeners have, and that's the exciting part for our fans is, okay, you know, this player goes with that player. But, you know, I would have said a year ago, there's probably not a lot of people that said Oliver Shillington's going to probably play, you know, the majority of the season with Chris Tanev. So that's why you have training camp. And that's always my message to players is, you know, there's always, you're looking for some prizes in camp. You're looking for people to show well. It's not always the people that you anticipate that it's going to be. And you just don't know where chemistry is going to come from, right? You can sit here and say, well, player X should fit with player Y, and this is what we like. But sometimes it doesn't. And you know, a combination that you maybe not put a lot of thought in works. So that's the beauty of camp. You're trying to take enough time to experiment with things, and I think Daryl will do that. But also try to get up and running and get your group together as quickly as you can. So I'm excited for, we talk about new players, but I'm excited because I think we've got a lot of people, you know, we've got a lot of competition. You know, we've got a lot of competition. There's a lot of bodies in camp. The two biggest things for me is seeing, you know, seeing some of the new faces, but also who's going to make a name for themselves at this camp. Who's going to step up here? And you hope it's more than one person that you walk away here in 2 weeks and say, you know what, somebody's trying to grab a spot here.
Yep.
And that's how you become a good organization is when you have more than one person. You know, I hope we have a hell of a time making decisions at the end of this thing. And that means you've got some depth and you've got some people pushing.
Well, and to that point, and you said this a little earlier in your general availability as well, like, you want this to be a really hard team to make, don't you?
It should be. And I know people come and say, well, geez, you got all these people. It should be a hard team to make. And then it, you know, making it's one thing and then trying to stay there's another. So you look at the good teams in the league and you don't just, nobody gets gifted a spot. And, you know, with our coach that, you know, that's never going to happen. So you, and I don't, you know, where you've come from or what you did last year or what your resume says is one thing, but what you do and how you perform and what you do over the course of this next 2 weeks is going to determine where it all fits. So, the more people you have knocking on the door, usually that means the better team you're going to have.
With Brad Treliving, Flames general manager, with some of the tryouts that you've brought mm-hmm. in from Sonny and Cody up front and Michael on the back, and we know Brett Ritchie's going to be attending camp as well. What do you want to see specifically from a PTO player? Like, what determines, and you've had lots of them before, what determines when you sign a player to a contract off a PTO and when maybe you don't? What goes into making those calls?
Well, I think you, especially for a veteran player, players that have been around, you got to give them, you know, give them some time to sort of get comfortable with things. But ultimately what you're trying to find is there a role that they can fit in to help you win games? You know, ultimately that's what you're looking at. And when I look at, you know, all three of these players specifically, I look at Sonny Milano as, you know, Sonny's background is an offensive guy coming up, you know him very well going back to his draft year. I think, you know, there's been some ups and downs in his career. I think he, you know, he had his best year last year statistically, ran into some injury troubles. But now is he a guy that's, you know, to me, he fits in a spot in your top nine. We've that's a wing depth, scoring wing depth to me is an area that we got to continue to look at. Is he a guy that can help that? And is there a fit for him? And then we've got, you know, in that conversation, you've got some players that played. There's a number of them, and I don't want to point out or single out anybody because you're leaving people out. But I know there's a handful of guys there that think they want to grab a hold of that. So that's where Sonny fits. Can he fit in here in a role that we have available to us and help us win games? Then you look at Cody. Cody's been, you know, to me, in where he's at in his career now, he's a bottom six forward, you know, primarily a centerman, can play the wing. To me, you have to have depth. You have to have depth at center ice. We saw that last year. We ran into injuries, and I thought the center ice position, you know, we became thin there. You know, this guy's, he's been a good pro. Again, his game's sort of fallen off the last little bit. Can he come in and grab a spot to help us win? And then we know Mike very well, and Michael had opportunities elsewhere. Michael's an NHL player, and he's a big, strong right shot defenseman. We've got a lot of bodies on the blue line, but we wanted to bring Michael back. Again, you're trying to do whatever you can, dice the best possible team. Does he fit in somewhere? Now with Oliver's, you know, Oliver's not going to be here for a little bit. That's going to open up opportunity for other people. We'll see how it all fits at the end of the day.
When you talk about that, couple of young defensemen kind of entering the final years of deals. They're waiver eligible for the first time in Uso and Connor. This is a big year, big camp for both those guys, isn't it?
Yep, and that's the stages you go through as a pro, right? And I always say to those young guys, as quick as it goes by, right, you draft them, and I remember, you know, my talk every year at development camp is, you know, don't dip your toe in. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to be 25 years old. And so, you know, both are coming into really important camps for them. We have lots of faith in both players. You know, Uso, you know, he's had sort of some up and down times in the last year and a half. But he looks great. He's back. He's as fit as ever. You know, Connor to me had a really, really good year in the American League. He's sort of gone through those steps now. I'm excited to see both, and both are coming into the mindset to grab a job here. You know, if they can, that's going to make our team even better.
How important was it for Adam Ruzicka to be signed and ready to go to start training camp? I know that was a worry for some fans on the outside that maybe that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I think we over the course of the last week or so, there was a deal there that you're trying to, you know, both sides are wrestling back and forth a little bit, but I think it's important for all players, but especially young players, to be at camp. And the way this goes now, you look back at time for people that miss camp, it's now you're in chase mode, Pat, and it's hard to catch up. And you know, not only the system stuff, but just conditioning wise and getting those live reps. And I think when you're a young guy, listen, there's a business part of the game that has to be taken care of. He's allowed his representatives to do that. We got everything done here yesterday. I'm excited that he's here day one. You look at Adam, you know, he's just an intriguing prospect. You know, he looks fantastic. He's six, you know, whatever, he looks 6'4", 6'5". He's 228 pounds, I think he is. He looks like a mountain right now, great shape. I'm excited to see him. He got a taste of it last year. But again, now he's got to come in and show progression and grab an opportunity that's in front of him.
Just a few more with the GM, Brad Tree, living with us here on Flames Talk. I'll ask you this now because I figure if there's ever a time, it's before the puck's even been dropped. You got one guy that a lot of people are really interested in on a contract extension. What would your confidence level be on getting something done with newly acquired Mackenzie Weegar?
Well, that's our hope. As you know, Pat, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of talk of that. We acquired Jonathan and Mackenzie in that deal, and the intention of doing that, and there was a lot of thought that went into it, is that we wanted to sign both players. We've been having some real healthy discussions with his representative, Matt Ebbs, and, you know, we just keep grinding away at it. But certainly is... That's our goal. Our goal is to get it to a good conclusion. We're not there yet, and these things take time. But we've had real good discussion, and we'll see where it goes.
I wanted to ask you about Tyler Toffoli, who is a big in-season acquisition for your group last year. He started like a house on fire, then the production kind of tailed off, and then it really felt like he was almost like really unlucky in the postseason not to kind of contribute and produce more. Full camp, back with Daryl Sutter, and a wide-open opportunity, top six, top-line role, whatever the case may be. What's your feel on Tyler in his first full season with your group?
Well, I had a chance to, Tyler's been back here for a while now. I had a chance to visit with him, and the first thing he says is he had a full summer, right? He was battling some injuries the last couple of years. You look back 2 years or going into last summer, he was coming off a Stanley Cup final appearance. It was a short summer, got through some injury stuff. So number one is he's healthy. And he's had a full summer to train. And I can tell you, Pat, he looks tremendous. You know, again, just you know, people don't understand, especially when you go on long playoff runs. I can say the same thing for Blake Coleman. Blake came in last year after two long trips to the final. It takes its toll, the ability to get away and get the body back to where it needs to be and get into the training that they need to be. You know, he looks great, great frame of mind. Tyler's a pro. You know, Tyler is a real pro, and as you talked about it, he came in and had a huge impact on our team when he first came in here. I thought his playoff, as you said, he had lots of opportunities, and that's number one. Sometimes they don't go in, but I know he's excited to get back. I think he's excited about our group, and I'm looking forward to seeing a real healthy and productive Tyler Toffoli.
How do you feel about just your overall cap flexibility and ability to do things in season, or the ability to kind of bank some space and give yourself some more flexibility down the road?
Well, that's what you're always trying to do, right? It's, you know, at the end of the day, you're trying to build your team in the summer. You try to be, you know, when you sign players and bring in good players, you know, they cost. So you're trying to balance that to make sure that you can have some flexibility throughout the season. You look at throughout the league right now, there's going to be, I don't know, I would anticipate, I think at one point last year we were 12 to 14 teams in LTI. So there's not a lot of space in the league. We're, you know, 2.5-3 years now of a very condensed cap, but that's something you're trying to do. As much as we want to go out and do all these things in the summer, you have to be cognizant of trying to give yourself some wiggle room, not only for people to come up and down, but if there's opportunities to better your team. We had that ability last year in terms of, you know, bringing in a player like Tyler. So, you know, that's what the next few weeks is. We've got some flexibility here right now. Depending on how the roster shapes out, that's going to affect it. So we'll see how the next little bit goes. But, you know, I want to see these, you know, I was asked a question there today. Are we still looking? You're always looking. You know, the concentration right now for the next little bit is to see what we've got and evaluate the people here. But, you know, if there's ways to help ourselves, we'll always continue to look at it.
You've got the final one. You've got the Jack Adams coach returning for another year and his second full training camp. And for most guys here, the expectations of what a Daryl Sutter training camp looks like is pretty clear. The opportunity there for a second camp under Daryl and a second full season under Daryl with now even more defined expectations, that has to be pretty tantalizing for you from the outside.
Well, yeah. I mean, the guys know what to expect with Daryl, and he's very clear. And, you know, Daryl's, you know, communicates with the players all summer of what the expectation is. You know, number one, what I'm excited about, too, is, you know, there was goals and objectives for the players in the course of the summer. You know, both in areas to work on for their game that the coaching staff communicated to them, and there's you know, there's regular contact throughout the summer, there's video that they go through, and then obviously from a conditioning perspective. So, you know, I like how people have come back, like how they look great now. The ultimate test is how they're going to play on the ice, but you know, the guys that have been here know what to expect with Daryl and the staff. Know the level and the standard that the expectation is, both on and off the ice, and you know that's been communicated to the newer people coming in here, and these new acquisitions, Pat, that we brought in, you know, these aren't 18 and 19 year old guys. They're guys that have, you know, that are pros, right? They're guys that have had success in the league. They're top players. They look after themselves. They know how to train and prepare. So I think it's a pretty serious group and a mature group. Ready to get going tomorrow.
Thank you, Tree. Appreciate the time as always.
Always a pleasure, Pat. Thanks.
That is the general manager of the Calgary Flames. His exclusive chat with us here on Flames Talk to kick off the 2022 season. 22-23 season is officially underway with training camp 2022 starting on this Wednesday. And Thursday is the first on-ice session for the Flames. They'll do it in three separate groups, starting at 9:30 a.m. Tuesday morning, then two on-ice sessions to follow that. The first preseason game is on Sunday. A lot there and some interesting updates. I mean, I don't think it's any surprise that we continue to get very positive narratives when it comes to a Mackenzie Weegar extension. I thought the stuff on the PTOs and kind of where each of the three PTOs would end up fitting is really interesting to me. I thought the explanation on the scouting report on Sonny Milano was really interesting in terms of where he fits and how Cody Eakin would fit on this team and what role he would be in if the Flames were to sign him to a contract. And obviously, I don't think anything Tree said there about Michael Stone is a surprise because we know what Michael Stone is. No, all you got to do.
You don't need a scouting report on him, Pat?
So still, skates, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big slap shot.
Looks like the guy. Okay, then we know exactly what he is. Yeah. But you don't know. It's funny because when Frank Saravalli joined us on Tuesday's show on the Milano front, he said the same thing that two hockey people I spoke to said the exact. Okay, what is Sonny Milano? What are you? Like, what are you, a playmaker? Are you a finisher? He's not a guy that is. That's what he is. He's still maybe establishing that, but what he is a guy that's got really good offensive potential, and over the years, especially last year in Anaheim, really solid offensive impacts when he was on the ice. That's kind of what he is, and maybe not one specific area that he excels at or one box or silo that you can put him in. I would say he's top two or three in terms of interesting players to watch for me at this year's camp. I would put Milano in there with Toffoli. Shillington's not going to be at camp, or at least not going to be there to start camp for an undetermined period of time. He was going to be one of the more interesting guys. Yusso's really interesting to me in terms of what type of steps he might have taken. But yeah, I would say Milano right near the top of the list for me.
Yeah, this is the guy that, you know, wound up being the guy that we've talked about for a couple of weeks now, right? We went through our free agent list, Pat, of the back and forth.
And he was always on it.
He was there, right? And as the list whittled down, we got closer, and we still thought this was a guy that, based off of last season, could have earned a contract somewhere. Is that extra motivation there for him coming in on a PTO to prove to the Calgary Flames, hey, look, I am worthy of a contract. I am going to be an impact maker for your team. I think there's going to be every opportunity for him to make the team and to be that scoring winger that they're looking for, and that specifically Brad mentioned they need more depth from. Can he go out and take it? Can he use that opportunity to his advantage? Because when I look at the Flames, honestly, if Milano was a right shot, it would almost be a no-brainer. But everything else that he brings, a good size, you know, ability, IQ, that sort of stuff, I think that it's there for him. Can he put it together with this group in time for opening night to make that sort of impression? That's on him now.
That'll wrap up hour one of Flames Talk. Thanks again to Brad Treliving, the general manager, for stopping by and joining us for an exclusive chat. That'll be up on the hour one portion of Flames Talk. We'll bonus it on the Flames Talk podcast feed a little bit later on as well. Hour one wraps up. Flames Talk's available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.